Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. And as I say every time, that is our normal schedule, but for now, with baseball not being played and the shutdown being in place, we are doing episodes 3 days a week on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. But if and when Major League Baseball resumes and gets back to some degree of normal, we will be doing episodes Monday through Friday once again. So coming up on today's show, it's the last day of the week prior to the MLB draft. I do expect that a lot of next week, I mean, we're only doing three episodes, so all of next week is going to be focused on the upcoming MLB draft. It's going to be a big one for the Giants. Their farm system is just going to continue to get better here as they're going to have more selections to make, more talent to add to that system that's already on the rise. So it is an exciting time for the San Francisco Giants. It's definitely going to be a challenging draft. Going from 40 rounds down to 5, just totally unprecedented. The first pick for the Giants will be 13th overall, and there's been a lot of different talk about who they're going to take with that pick. In the first half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the draft, and we're going to play a clip from the network's very own Jeff, the host of Locked On Indians, and Taylor Ward, the host of Locked On Angels, talking about, they did a mock draft, and they worked with the Giants at the number 13 overall pick. And so it's a five-minute clip that we're going to play momentarily where they talk about who they select for the Giants. It's really in-depth, and they have a lot of knowledge on this subject. So it's very interesting to listen to, and then we'll break that down afterwards. And you can follow Taylor Ward on Twitter, at Taylor Blake Ward, and Jeff is at Jeff MLB Draft. So without further ado, here is Jeff and Taylor talking about who the Giants take in their mock draft at 13th overall.
Jeff, let's move on to the San Francisco Giants. You and I have kind of alternated on this pick between the two of us a few times over, and there's reasons for it. We don't really know what's going on with the Giants. They do keep things behind closed doors pretty well. With the 13th overall pick, Jeff, who do we have taken? Who do we have the Giants taking there? Farhan Zaidi, my man.
Analytic front office, college heavy a year ago, one could argue their first two picks were the most conservative players by far on the board with, you know, Hunter Bishop and his high level production, also a good value. And then Logan Wyatt, the first baseman from Louisville. So they've been linked to the college or the prep players, I should say, but they do have that history with college talent. And when you're looking at the college talent around here, Cade Cavalli, wish we could have seen him more. His first 2 years at Oklahoma were up and down affairs. This was like, he is one of those guys with a full season. Maybe he's a top 10 pick. He does feel like he's got a little bit of steam of late, three above average pitches, but more risk. That's the thing here. Like we talked about with, why is Emerson Hancock down? Well, there's a higher degree of risk with Cavalli versus even some of the other guys who are kind of in his tier of arms. He's got more undefined, as it were. You know, you don't have the reps, you don't have the tape, you don't get to see the step forward you're hoping he makes into his junior year. But the make there is for a solid 2-3 type of arm. And again, having three developed pitches, obviously they need more development. I mean, every college kid needs more development, but the fact that they're all in existence and all can flash at least above average right now is it's extremely valuable, and it makes sense to a San Francisco team that has some interesting pitchers in the system, but that is a farm system in a rebuild.
The thing for me with Cade Cavalli is how green he is. You know, you look at his college career, only just over 77 innings pitched. That is a big reason to some back injuries that took him out during the high school time, obviously early in his college career as well. But when I look at Cade Cavalli, I love it. I love everything about him. It's a very easy mid-90s. I love the delivery. I think he's a pro-ready body who could really be up soon. The fact that he's so green, just doesn't have a lot of innings under his his arm is relatively fresh in a sense. With electric stuff, that is an arm that I think a lot of people are going to value him a little bit higher, and that's going to be a guy on a big board that teams that aren't afraid of those past injuries, that back, that stress fracture in his back coming back up, I think that's going to be something. This could be a guy, we talk about Cade Cavalli and this next tier of college pitchers. Cade Cavalli could be someone that could go here at 13 or even all the way up towards pick 10 with the Angels. He could also fall down into the 20s. There's such a wide gap when it comes to Cade Cavalli and how teams value him. But with the 13th pick, I like this pick for the Giants. I'm a huge Cade Cavalli guy. You know, I mean, I don't know, Jeff. I know that sometimes injuries can be the big plague when it comes to taking amateurs. What's your take on Cade Cavalli's future here?
Yeah, like I said, this is our kind of like the second tier of pitchers. We have this, all of them have either, you know, we're talking about less of a ceiling or there's a risk. And back injuries always scare me, maybe even more so than arm injuries, because back injuries just tend to keep reoccurring and rehappening. Sometimes they never do. But for a lot of guys, that becomes such a chronic injury that always scares me to a degree. Cavalli won't be this high on my board, if I'm being honest, when the time comes around. But I can understand why someone would put them there. And again, because boards are very different, because on my board, for instance, I'm trying to mitigate risk as much as I can, because there is such a huge amount of risk with all of these players. But for others, we're like, I cover the Cleveland Indians on Locked On Indians. The Indians scoff at your risk and go, we just want to go for whoever's got the best outcome potential. So that's what's fun with the draft, is it's really, how do you evaluate? What are you looking for? And it's going to be interesting, because this is the best college pitching class I can ever recall, ever. And, you know, I've been doing this since, I think we sat down and figured, like, since 2009. And there's been good classes, but like last year's was so weak. And this one, there's going to be guys going in the third round who would have been early second round last year in terms of just college pitching and the depth of this class. It's going to cause some guys to get pushed around, but it's going to be fun to watch how this all shakes out.
So yeah, very interesting. They have the Giants taking Cade Cavalli, right-handed pitcher out of Oklahoma. According to MLB.com, Cavalli is the 22nd ranked prospect in this draft. So that doesn't mean necessarily that it's a stretch to take him at 13th. If you listen to the clip, you can hear why they think Cavalli is the pick for the Giants at number 13. And in fact, MLB.com's latest mock draft also has the Giants taking Cade Cavalli. So if you watch some video of Cavalli, he does in fact have a very smooth delivery, easy velocity on his pitches. He flashes a good curveball, and his cutter slider is a good pitch as well. But the scouting report from MLB.com basically indicates that he has dealt with injuries throughout his career. He had a back injury in high school that made him miss most of his senior year. In college, he did miss 3 weeks with a stress reaction in his arm. I believe that was in 2019. So kind of the summary is that he has the upside of a frontline starter, but he comes with concerns. Although he has clean mechanics, he doesn't have a great track record of staying healthy or throwing strikes. And his lack of command and deception also means that his premium stuff gets hit harder than it should. So I haven't seen a lot of Cavalli except watching video on YouTube of highlights, essentially. So you don't necessarily see the hard contact when you're watching highlights. That's why it's important to watch these guys actually pitch full games. But from what I've seen, smooth delivery, easy velocity, and definitely upside in the arm. So other mock drafts have linked the Giants most often to the catcher out of Turlock High School in California, Tyler Soderstrom. You know, both of these players connected to the Giants are interesting, and we're going to talk more about mock drafts and who the Giants could be looking at with this first selection in the days ahead. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure the pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Again, why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts, and why risk going out there when you can buy the parts yourself, do it at home, have a company come and do it for you with the parts that you bought yourself to save money? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Postmates has been a lifesaver during this pandemic and the resulting stay-at-home orders. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. But I kind of love them even more right now because I can get food delivered without leaving the house or even opening the door. Given what's going on in the world, they created non-contact deliveries. So now when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. You guys need to be supporting your neighborhood spots right now. I've been ordering only local because it's a great way to support my community. And Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier by picking up everything I need from Walgreens and 7-Eleven and dropping it outside my door. Just the other day, needed some medication. Someone from Postmates was able to pick it up from CVS and bring it to my house within like 20 or 30 minutes. It was just incredible. So thankful to the workers who are out there doing this job right now for Postmates and doing a great job. Download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get everything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit in your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, here in the second half of the show, I want to talk about the ongoing negotiations between the owners and the players for trying to resume the baseball season or start the baseball season. There are additional updates, and we continue to just hear this strange kind of dialogue about how the two sides are very standoffish and can't come to any kind of compromise or agreement, yet we're continuing to see strong optimism that they will come to an agreement. So it's hard to know what to believe. But the latest is that Commissioner Rob Manfred and the league's owners have begun discussions on an even shorter season, reportedly 48 to 54 games at prorated rates. And so the key factor here is that based on the March agreement, it does seem that the league can just implement a season length and demand that it be started, owing the players their full prorated salary. So the players basically are cool with that. They just want a longer season. They want like an 81, I mean, they proposed 114 game season with prorated salaries, but it does seem like they would accept an 81 game season at prorated salaries. But the league is basically saying, we can't afford to do that, which the players naturally are demanding evidence, which the league is not providing. But the owners apparently are comfortable only with a short, approximately 50 game season because of the loss of revenue by not having fans in the stands for those games. As Jeff Passan points out in an article for ESPN, you know, the owners are looking at 48 games. The players are apparently willing to accept an 82 game season at a prorated level. So the difference then amounts to just 34 games worth of pay, which boils down to about $326 million in total. So that does not seem like an insurmountable amount of money, you know, combined between all 30 teams. So I can't imagine that we're going to not have a season over, you know, not being able to compromise on that amount of money. Yes, it's a lot of money, but for these very wealthy teams, it's actually not. And SNY's Andy Martino writes that at least one person involved in the talks believes the outcome will indeed be a compromise, something in the vicinity of 65 to 80 games with slightly less than prorated salaries and temporary suspensions of the luxury tax and qualifying offer systems. So one key takeaway there is that, you know, this is the first we've heard about temporary suspensions of the luxury tax and qualifying offer systems. But specifically thinking about the qualifying offer system, the Giants are really going to benefit from that system this year by getting compensation picks for losing Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith to free agency. The way that works is the Giants offered them the 1 year, 18-ish million dollar qualifying offer, and the players could have accepted it, but they rejected it thinking they could do better than 1 year, 18 million. And of course, they both did. And by signing with another team after rejecting the qualifying offer, the Giants get compensated with draft picks, which they're about to get to use in this upcoming draft. And so if that qualifying offer system temporarily disappears, it's just worth pointing out how fortunate the Giants are that they were able to do that last year, because it looks like maybe this year they wouldn't have been able to do that. And then they would, if those players signed elsewhere, they would get maybe nothing in return. So anyway, it does seem to me like one way or another, they're going to have baseball. It would be nuts if we end up having a 48-game season. I mean, the type of shenanigans that can happen in a sample of 48 games is enormous. And so we could very much be looking at, I mean, any team could miss the postseason or make the postseason. We'd definitely be looking at the Giants having a much better chance of making it just because of simple random variations spread out over that sample. Like we have repeatedly said, the Giants went something like 19-6 or 18-4, I'm forgetting the exact number, in July of 2019. And if you do that just in one random month of your 48 game schedule, then you're pretty much a shoe-in to make the postseason. And so, I mean, yes, they could also do the opposite and they could also just play to their talent level, but it does make more variation and variance basically comes into play more with a shorter schedule. They're also talking about expanding the postseason. So it would just be a totally crazy and different MLB season, but that's currently kind of what we're looking at. Hopefully, though, the two sides can reach a compromise. As we have said, it's actually not that far off. And I personally, I think the owners need to just concede that the players deserve the prorated salaries. Maybe there's something the players could give up that's not their salary in order to get that over 81 games. So hopefully that resolves. Next week is going to be a lot of fun when we get to talk about the draft. We get to have the draft and talk about the players who are selected. It's going to be a very welcome reprieve from everything that's been going on. So I can't wait. That'll be next week, next time we talk. So be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already to get this show 3 days a week for now, 5 days a week when things are back to normal. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB, where they're doing these draft shows, by the way. That clip that you got is being aired on Locked On MLB, I believe. Like, the whole mock draft is there. So check them out. Check out their draft coverage, and we'll be back next week with draft coverage as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.